This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, you've made the cut.
It's awful.
But I'm here, JT, along with my buddy Aaron from the North. Aaron, how are you?
I am amazing, and that wasn't even that bad.
No, not bad. It's not bad at all. So if you've been listening along with us throughout this whole PTBN Greatest WWE Wrestler Ever project, you know that Aaron and myself have done a series of podcasts and a couple of pod blasts looking at our thoughts, how we're going to work our list, breaking down the candidates. We call them Making the Cut. Well, now that the list is complete and the ballots are submitted and all that, we're now going to talk about who made our cut on these podcasts. So as you're listening to this, these are pre-recorded. So just know that the list is either fully out, maybe partially out. I have no idea when we're going to release these. So in some shape, form, or manner, you'll know most of the list probably by the time you hear these. But this is me and Aaron walking through our lists, right?
Yes, and I'm never going to release mine aside from these podcasts, so who knows when. You'll never see it.
Yeah, that'll be it. So this is your only chance to learn about Aaron's list.
And about my life, really, because
yes.
We're going to get into that, too.
True. We're going to get into a lot of things, I'm sure. So why don't we get started?
Yeah.
All right, well, we're finally in the 70s, so that's good. as we chug along.
Progress.
Making progress. All right, so my 79 is Harley Race. Was he on your list?
No, fuck no.
Oh. Well, that's not nice. Harley actually had higher, and then I kind of thought about it and dropped him down. I really enjoyed watching him way more than I would have expected. He is a workhorse on a lot of these MSG and TV matches I've watched. Just doing shit that like no one else in the WWF was really doing outside of maybe like the Bulldogs and the Hart Foundation. You know what I mean? Like he's just like bumping like a madman in nothing matches on house shows. He's dropping headbutts on the floor, like just doing crazy stuff, bumping all around, pinballing all around, kind of spot monkey-ish. He's got some really fun moments and matches. He's got the Hogan series, which is good. The MSG one's good. And then the Saturday Night's Main Event, obviously, is really fun where he takes the headbutt through the table. He's part of the six-man in February of 87 before WrestleMania 3 at MSG, the six-man elimination. He's good in that. I liked him a lot in the Junkyard Dog feud. The matches aren't great, but he was really good in that feud. And then I like him and Haku at Royal Rumble 89. I think that's a good match. And just overall, I've enjoyed him as a character. Like, I thought the King thing for a long time was stupid and goofy. But watching it back, like, they use it by saying he's, like, the greatest wrestler. He's the king of wrestling. So I actually thought the gimmick is in his hackneyed. Is hackneyed? Is that how you say it? Hackneyed?
Hackneyed?
Hackneyed. As it may have seemed in the past. Like, I know it's kind of goofy. He's got the regalia on, but I thought he was actually quite good in it, and I thought it made sense. So, again, maybe a little too high, but I think he's a good pro. He's, like, rock solid across the board for me. So, I don't know. I was fine slotting him in here. Maybe if I'm doing it again, maybe a little bit lower behind a guy like a Jacques Morocco Honky. I don't know, but I just enjoy him so much in his matches. Like, I never, like, you talked about Bigelow, I think last time, not having any bad matches. Like, that's Harley to me. Like, everything, like, even the JYD match, like, he's bumping his ass off trying to drag JYD up to something respectable, right?
Right. I mean, you know what wasn't rock solid was his body.
No, but that's what made it great. He's just this old fucking fat bum. Like, you know, he's a legend, though. He's a legend. He's just the grizzled guy at the bar. With the tattoos, the ugly face, you know what I mean? Like the beer belly, but he can just kick the shit out of you.
How much do you think he smoked in his life?
Oh yeah, quite a bit, I'm sure.
Like,
he's still going.
All of the cigarettes, right?
He's still going. All of them. He's still going. But he's definitely he's definitely that core raw strength guy that just doesn't look like a strong guy, but he can just do whatever he wants.
Oh yeah, he for sure chops a mean wood.
Yes.
Like, if you need firewood, that's your guy right there. Is his perm the best perm in wrestling or the worst perm in wrestling?
Well, what are the competitors?
Perm? Would you consider Rick Rude having a perm?
He's kind of got a perm mullet. I think it's a different category.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone else has just the curly perm that Harley has.
Sapphire had a perm.
So I think that's natural, though.
What are you saying?
I think her hair was natural. I don't think she did it permanent.
Right. Okay. So yeah, I guess it's the best.
Yeah.
I enjoyed him fighting throughout the 1987 Slammy Awards.
Oh, that's good too. Yeah, the Duggan stuff.
Yeah, the Duggan stuff was good. I never thought the King stuff was lame. It just kind of worked for me because when I was watching it, that's around the time I got into wrestling. So he was just the King.
Right. You know? And he actually won the King of the Ring tournament too. So there was stuff behind it.
Sure. Sure. You're right. I love Hogan beating the shit out of him on Saturday Night's Main Event. Like me and my friends would just, that's a moment we would just go back to every time we got together and be like, remember when Hogan beat the shit out of the King? And we really, really dug that. But I don't know. For me, it's just not enough. He doesn't have enough on the resume to crack it. I love his purple tights. I love the crown on the tights. I love his purple boots. I love his purple crown. I love the purple cape. He's got a lot of purple, which I appreciate.
Yeah, you like purple, yeah.
He's the best guy in purple until Mabel comes. And in Mabel, there's just so much purple. Like, right. It's like there's not enough purple on Earth.
It's overwhelmingly purple. Barney's like, dude, there's too much purple.
Yeah, Barney's like, take it down a notch, Mabel, yeah, please.
Feel the purple.
Yeah.
He's just, I don't know, maybe it's me extrapolating a bit. Like, I haven't seen all of his stuff from that era, but I've seen enough of it now where I can guess what most of it was. And he's just a guy I really enjoy. Like, whenever he pops up on these MSG shows or anything else Scott and I are watching, like, I just enjoy it. Like, I just find him highly enjoyable to watch. So I connect with him. You know, I think he's a – and his promos are good. Like, just everything he does is just – he's just like a solid B player, which to me is perfect for this stretch of guys.
Him and Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan's a B plus. Harley's a B. I purposely said B.
That's true, huh?
All right, you're 79. Who you got?
SOS.
You're making me crazy.
It's Dean Ambrose.
I thought it was going to be Mike Adamley.
No, it's Kobe. It's Kofi.
I was so upset Mike Adamley bombed. Like, I loved him on American Gladiators, and I was actually really excited when they hired him. And then I was so sad. Although he was fun as the GM, as the clueless GM. Like, he was good in that role.
At least they ran with what his strength was.
Right. They did a nice job with him. That's why ECW was good for that reason. Like, it kind of let him grow into that character, and then they put him on Raw. The reveal of him as a GM is fun, too. that was kind of cool. Anyway.
Was there anybody cooler on Earth in the 80s than the actual gladiators on American Gladiators?
Oh, God. You know how many chicks those dudes are pulling in and how many guys those chicks are pulling in? Just legends.
Nitro. I think Nitro was my favorite.
Malibu.
The dark hair, slick back. Malibu, that's the curly hair, right?
I think so, yeah. Gemini. What's Gemini was pretty badass.
Gemini, yes. What's the best event?
I liked Assault a lot.
Yes. Yes.
Touchdown and Conquer was always kind of fun. Atlas Fair. Do you like Atlas Fair?
I liked it. It was fun. I liked the Joust more, I would say.
Joust is good. I like the one where they swing and knock the guy off the podium, too. Where they come
or, yes.
The zip line.
Or the one with the rings.
Hanging Tough or whatever. I don't know. That was okay.
I just love that it would always culminate with one guy wrapping his legs around the other and humping him off the ring.
Yes. I think no one ever won that. And then the Eliminator was great. We played American Gladiators a ton as a kid. Like, we had all the events. And then in my house was set up where you could actually get to the backyard three ways, through the garage or around either side. And for the Eliminator, we would have two of the doors that have a gladiator, and you had to find the one that didn't. And we had like these, my dad, you know, big into softball. So we had like legitimate like softball bases. And we'd use those as like the pads. So we would like be camped out at the entrance with the pad, and you had to like push through to get to the finish. So, yeah.
I thought you were going to say like your dad had legitimate softball bats.
He did. We did not use those. But actually we had, so I had like my dad had built a swing set. It was literally just like three pieces of wood, right? Like two on the side and one across the top with like four swings and rings. And the swings would come off the chains, like the chain would eventually break. So it would just be a straight chain. So what we would do is, the goal of that game would be to walk across the swings and the rings. And while we were throwing balls at you, like that was like almost like the, I don't know what game that would be. But the best part was on one of the swings, the chain Link would have like, it would be hooked but not closed. So we would hook it right on the edge. And if you hit it right with the ball while the person was on it, the swing would give out and they'd have to hang on to the chain. Oh. It was intense. But yeah, American Gladiators is the best. Tangent.
I just remember going to an amusement park with my buddy, and like, we never played it, but they had a joust set up and they gave us helmets. And the first thing they said was just please don't hit each other in the head. But like immediately that's where we both went. And I just remember us smashing each other in the head and the person in charge just screaming from the side, stop, stop.
Concussion. Oh man, that guy's onto the concussion thing ahead of everyone else.
Yeah. Yeah. Those gladiators probably got concussed a lot.
All right. So your 79 is Kofi Kingston.
Yes.
I talked about him back at 89. Do you want to just briefly touch on Kofi and then we'll move on?
Sure. Just a sneaky great. I think he's got a sneaky great career.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got a ton of great matches, but maybe not great. A ton of very good matches. His tag work's great. Air Boom was great. The New Day stuff speaks for itself. I just think he's super consistent.
Yeah.
Like he was really, if you watch back in like 09 and kind of when he's getting his start in the promotion, like the stuff he's doing is really interesting and different. Like I think we're just used to it now, but a lot of his moveset was a lot of very fluid things that weren't happening before that. I think he's great in the WrestleMania 25 Money in the Bank. I like his feud with Orton. I think he's an awful heel. I don't think he should ever be a heel.
Yeah.
But he was like a stalwart of the U.S. and Intercontinental divisions in a time where those divisions could have been. Like in a time where Ezekiel Jackson was Intercontinental champion, Kofi Kingston was holding the fort down as a U.S. champion. So I just think his career is better than it looks just on the surface. You dig a bit and there's not too many bad Kofi Kingston matches, and there's a lot of good ones.
Yeah, no, he's worthwhile. I don't have much complaint with him being here. And the New Day stuff obviously has lifted him up as far as like moments and some matches go too. Although, I don't know. How do you feel? Is he the third best worker in that group?
Worker? No.
You think he's I think he's the third most.
Yeah, I think he's the third most important in the group.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't think he's the third best worker. In fact, I think early on, he was way more important to New Day when like Big E was kind of still developing that style he wrestles now.
Right. Yeah, Big E has lapped him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Big E's way better. And Xavier is a way better character.
All right. My 78 is a guy, I don't know, maybe looking I would have had higher, actually. But I have The Miz at 78. I'll have to see as we move forward if I would have had him ahead of anyone else. I feel like he's got stretches of, like, I've always been a Miz fan, but there's a lot of stretches of just kind of nothing in there. And his biggest moment, unfortunately, ended up being kind of a dog. But where do you have? Well, you have Miz higher, lower. Obviously, we didn't talk about himself higher. Yeah.
Quite a bit higher.
Okay,
a bit higher.
So we can wait to talk about Miz.
Sure.
But yes, I do want to get into him because I think he's an interesting one. I think he's a guy on the surface when he pops up on here. It's kind of like, oh, who would put Miz? But then when you break down, you know, especially some of his bigger moments and matches, I think he certainly belongs on this list and probably higher than I have him.
He's one who kept, I was in the camp of, I don't think I'm going to include him. And then when I started putting him against guys, he rose quite a bit.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So who's your 78?
Well, my 78, you have him higher. So we're going to talk about him later. And that's the, 5-time WCW champion Booker T.
Okay. Yeah, I do have him a decent amount higher, so we'll get there. My 77 Umaga, who you had back at 91, so I think we talked about him probably a decent amount. I just, you know, he's got a 5-star match on his resume and another pretty close one. I think him and Cena at New Year's Revolution is often overlooked. I loved his feud with Hardy. I give him a ton of credit for pulling off the character he pulled off in the time he did it. Like, that could have easily been just a goof. It just could have been looked at very poorly, but he owned it and he made it work. He was great squash worker. Him murdering Ric Flair in his pay-per-view debut match is still great. Led to a big argument with me and Scott, of course, on the podcast about the treatment of Ric Flair.
Wait a minute. What do you mean? Like that, like Ric Flair shouldn't have been getting beat up because he's old or because he's Ric Flair?
Yeah. I'll just tell you to go listen to it. I think it was the Backlash Show 6 Vintage Vault.
All right.
My whole point was if he's in the match, that's how he should be used. Like, don't put him in the match if you're not going to get killed. But So I like all that. He's got the he's obviously got so not only the Cena match, but he also has the Lashley match, which I know was sold on the back of Trump and Vince. But Umaga had to be believable enough as a heel in that character to be placed in such a high profile match. Like, it's kind of a risk, right? To put the Samoan Savage in the biggest match of all time. But he was good in that match. He worked well. And then he was fun with Vince when Vince went crazy with the ECW title and stuff. And then I like him and Batista is a sloppy, hard-hitting kind of, you know, Haas match the next year at WrestleMania at 24. And then, you know, he kind of goes face at the end. Like, he's got that kind of awkward match at SummerSlam that year, the three-way. But he's the best part of that match. So I just think he's got a lot of good quality in-ring work. I like him as a character. I think he's got enough jump-up moments. Even Santino beating him in his debut, like, that was a good jump-up moment. So, I think he's got a lot on his resume. And I just think he was a great worker. And, you know, it sucks that he passed away so young, because I think he's someone that maybe could have come back eventually. And he also has some good moments in 3-Minute Warning, like, you know, early on. Some good jump-up moments, too, when they first debut, beating up... was it Lillian or whatever they beat up, killing you know, all the random people Bischoff would have him kill. So anyway, I think he's got a lot to that. Even that Survivor Series 02 match was pretty fun, hitting them and Rico against the Dudleys and Jeff Hardy or whatever.
Right. Look, he's a guy I just wish we had more of. Loved watching him. I just wish we had like another 5 years of him, and he would be way up on my list.
Of course. So we got what? Early 06 to when's he leave? 09?
Is he still there in 09?
I think he's there. I mean, when's that? Is that SummerSlam 07 or 08 when he's in the three-way for the IC title?
It's with Kennedy and I think it's 07.
Is it Carlito and Kennedy?
Yes.
So he's drafted from Raw to SmackDown in 08. No, he's still there in early 09. Umaga returned on the January 30th, 09 SmackDown, took some time off, and then he was back there in May.
In 08, he's got a fun series with Punk, actually.
That too, and the match with Triple H is pretty good at No Mercy, 07, when Cena has to forfeit the belt. He's in that whole, they do like the three matches that night. He was good in that. He was fired
in June. Did he come out of the feud with Triple H stronger or weaker?
I'm so glad I missed that conversation.
Fucking ridiculous.
June of 09 is when he's released due to the wellness policy. It was a second failure and he refused rehab, so he got dismissed.
Right. I just feel like that last like 6 months he's like invisible.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Well, Judgment Day fights Punk. So that's maybe when that feud was, or was that 08 for sure?
Maybe it was 09. You might be right. It might be 09.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want more. Like, I want to see more high profile. I would have loved to see more high profile stuff with him.
All right. Well, you didn't get it.
So. I know.
All right.
And then he fucking died.
Right? What a jerk. All right. So, what's your 77?
My 77 is probably extremely contentious.
Yeah, let's contend.
Yeah, we'll contend. I'm going to just preface it by saying that if you don't think this guy deserves to be on the list, you are a racist. You have a problem with Asians. Damn. And that is
Mr. Fuji.
Shinsuke
Sato.
Nakamura.
Oh.
Sato. I thought of Sato. But wasn't he Kato? Wasn't Nakamura Kato?
So I didn't have Nakamura on my list. So tell me why I should have.
Well, because you should respect other cultures.
I mean, I just talked about Umaga.
Yeah, but... is Samoan really different than American? Sorry, I couldn't even get through that as I was saying it. Nakamura for me, he's the first guy on the list that I basically put on the list because of one match. I think his debut match with Sami Zayn is – I don't know what the general consensus on that match is, but I would put it
high. Hang on. So you didn't have enough Umaga. And Umaga's best match is better than Nakamura's best match. So explain that one to me.
I don't know if Umaga's best match is better than Nakamura's best match.
You don't have Umaga seen as a five-star match?
I do, but I also have Nakamura's Zayn is a five-star match. I think that the the atmosphere and the story for Nakamura Zayn trumps it for me. There's something special about that entire the build and the emotion of the crowd and the fact that it was Zayn's last match and the fact that Nakamura came in with all that hype and actually delivered in that match. I think they also did a style that no one had ever really seen in the company up until that point. And I think you can make some similar arguments for Cena Umaga. And I love Cena Umaga. Like I wouldn't put them far from one another. But I also just find that Nakamura has better intangibles as well than Umaga.
So you don't ding him for his lackluster run on the main roster? Like, even NXT, like, what are his other great matches? Like, I feel like a lot of his stuff is just kind of disappointed. I don't know, maybe expectations are too high. Like, I think the Samoa Joe matches were, like, good. Like, I didn't think they were great. And what's been his best main roster match? The Dolph stuff was kind of flat.
When he fought Cena on SmackDown, I thought that was very good.
Yeah.
I think he had one against Orton too, which I quite liked. I will agree. I think his main roster stuff has been a little bit lackluster.
I mean, I was at the Rumble, so I can't vouch. Like, I was so wrapped up in it. I don't know, how was he in that match? Like, was he a workhorse for winning it, or was he just kind of aware of that?
You just killed my whole gimmick. I was gonna like talk about how we were pre-recording this, so I was going to make a prediction that he was going to win the Royal Rumble. Like, you just fucked me. Right? Like, so, I was going to do a
it whole- doesn't matter anyway. It was outside the voting period, so it doesn't really matter. So even if you liked
it. No, but I was going to look really smart, you know? Like, and like, I was going to be like, oh, he's going to win the Rumble. He's going to eliminate Reigns. He's going to eliminate Cena. That's my prediction.
Yeah, okay. Gimmick's dead, kid. Hang it up.
Kid. Don't call me kid. I'm older than you, you motherfucker.
That's right, you are, you little piece of shit.
I know. Not much, though. Not much.
All right.
I thought he wasn't like a crazy Iron Man, but I thought what he did extremely well.
Doesn't
like,
matter. It's outside the voting period. You shouldn't have brought it up.
You're right. I shouldn't have brought it up. I think he's got more in NXT, too, than – I think the Joe matches are not just good. I think they're very good. I think his Finn Balor match that he had on the episode of NXT was great, right before Finn moved up to the main roster. I thought his match with Bobby Roode, the first one, was very good, like bordering on great. So I don't, he had a match with TJ Perkins too on NXT, which I loved. I don't think it's an empty cupboard there.
Okay.
But I also think he brings with him, like I said, a completely different intangible. There's no one like him, and there won't be anybody like him. There's a raw charisma there that's so different. His entrance is crazy. There are moments he's a guy that if they stay the course with, he could be huge, just a huge superstar. I don't know if they'll do that, but and I do like his ring work, even his lackluster stuff. I think his work still looks good, so that's why I have him ahead of Umaga.
All right, so my I just don't have much else. I mean, whatever. I didn't rank them. I don't mean, you know, I'm not as avid with or up on NXT maybe as I should be, so maybe there's some stuff. I mean, I was at the Joe match live, the SummerSlam weekend one. Yeah, I don't know. I just – whatever it is. I just think I need more from him to have put him on this list.
Like my rule is, like, if they have a singles five-star match, they're on the list. So, like, I guess we disagree on what his Sami Zayn match is. Like, what is your take on
that? Or I
just
don't have that rule.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
But the reason why that rule exists, for me anyway, is that in the end, like, that peak will be something you will show people.
Right.
If you're trying to get people involved in...
I'd have to rewatch the match, honestly. I know I watched it. I'd have to rewatch it to lock it in as a five-star, I guess. So,
well, a lot of people don't think that way. Like, I've seen, like, oh, it's overrated, it's this and that. But there's just an emotional level there that's different than a lot of things we see today.
Okay. All right. So his counterpart in the match is my 76. That's Samuel Zayn. I assume that's what Sammy's short for. Where do you have him, or is it higher?
Way higher.
Okay, so we're not talking about him for a while. All right, let's move on then. Who is your 76?
My 76 is Dean Ambrose.
Okay, so we covered him. Oh, I covered him anyway back at 80. What do I have him at? 86. So you want to talk briefly about Dean?
Sure. I mean, look, like I think we covered most of it. All the Shield stuff is great. I thought the Rollins feud was strong, but not perfect. I really liked his Kevin Owens stuff at the beginning of 2016. But he's got a lot of warts too. That Bray Wyatt feud is just awful. leads to nothing good. And I just find he's one of the most indicative guys of, like, they just don't know how to write for him.
Right.
Like, it's so aimless and whatever. And like, he's at the point now where he's a channel changer for me. Like, I don't enjoy watching him at all. I think he's a terrible face. I think he's a decent heel.
Right. He should come back. When he comes back from this injury, he should return, get his pop, and then immediately turn on someone. Like that. I mean, that's what they should just do.
Yeah. Like, it was for me when he won the chance. They also didn't strike when the iron was hot for him, too. When he won the title, it was like just past his peak. Like, he just started to dip.
There were a couple of times they missed the boat on him. One was right before 32 when they had the chance to have a win and make that a four-way. And then there was one other time. What was the other time where he was like super heated up?
Well, for me, he was the one to push out of the Shield breakup.
Right.
Like, he was the one who had the fan support and who had the heat from the turn as well. Mm. But it was not in the cards. And I hate that goddamn lariat.
It's going to go. I mean, he could do it, but not every fucking match. Like, I hate that shit. Like, every match he does it. Like, just, we don't need it every time. Like, just break it out every now and then. Why does it have to be in every match?
Because everybody's signature move has to be in every match. Often at the same point in the match.
He's too over animated for me. Like, he's a guy portraying how he thinks a crazy guy would be portrayed. Right. Yeah. That too. But Piper is a guy, like, he gets comped to, right? At least he was when he was a heel. But Piper was naturally crazy, right? He never felt like a guy acting crazy. Dean Ambrose, as it's gone along, has started acting more like a guy would act who's portraying a guy that's crazy. Like the big facials and the manic pacing and the word, watch this, and the, da, 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 you know, like, it's like, he's like portraying, like, this is how a crazy guy should act versus just being a nut.
Yeah, he's showing us crazy instead of just being crazy.
Agreed. All right, fuck him. Okay, so my 75 is the man they call Axe, and that's Bill Eadie. Do you have him ranked?
I had him just outside the top 100.
Okay. Obviously, strength there is Demolition. I like the stuff at the Machines. I like, I think Mass Superstar, he was great. I think he's just a really good worker. He's had three distinct good character runs. One of the greatest WWF tag teams, if not of all time, at least of, like, the pre kind of rebirth. So, like, the original, if you kind of, like, I kind of break their tag division stretches into, like, multiple segments, right? So there's like the original through 70 whatever, like the old groups, and then kind of 80 till 99 or 2000, and then 2000 till whenever you want to draw the line, whenever, like, what would you consider the tag rebirth recently, like 15 14, the Shield?
The Shield was just different. Like, I would say once they started pushing it on NXT, the main roster kind of reacted and went with
it. So, like, 14, 15, right? So around there. So, like, that's the third group to me, is like 2000 to 15. Like, that's, so, like, they were kind of the, the greatest, at least, of their era, I would say, like, as far as characters and overall presence. And he's a big part. Like, if you watch those matches, he's the ring general. He's the leader of Demolition. Like, Smash is almost more memorable in a way, because he would often be the guy yelling in the promos and eating up some of the match. But Axe has got the guy directing traffic. I thought his promos as Demolition are actually kind of underrated. Like, I thought he's a really good talker as Axe. Super memorable.
That gravelly voice.
Yeah, just everything about it. He's like, you could tell he's kind of the leader of the team, right? I mean, that's how he's positioned. Yeah. The elder statesman. big jump up moment, WrestleMania 5, WrestleMania 6, WrestleMania 4. Like, they have three great WrestleMania moments as Demolition. The Machine stuff is real memorable. I haven't seen a ton of Mass Superstar. What I have seen, I really like, and I know he's thought highly regarded. So I think he's just, you know, I had him just in the, I had a bunch of guys just kind of in this mid area. I think he's a guy I had higher, like Harley, and then moved him down as I kind of looked at it. But I think he definitely earns a spot here.
Yeah, I like him a lot. Like, I'll reiterate everything you said. I like that his face paint was more conservative than Smash's. I thought that really added to the leadership as well.
Right.
I just, not enough single stuff for me to push him higher. Like, not enough high-end single stuff for me to push him higher.
I have to see more of the Mass Superstar to really stump for anything specific. But enough people who I trust have talked highly about the Mass Superstar stuff. So.
Yeah. From what I have seen of it, I've liked it. But again, like, I haven't seen everything, so I wanted to recognize him for Demolition, but as I was getting towards the bottom of my list, like, it's one of those things, like, it's stupid, but, like, it came down to, like, do I recognize the Revival or do I recognize Demolition? I know that seems kind of insane to even consider that proposition, but I just think the Revival has, like, two of the greatest tag team matches ever in the company, and I don't think Demolition has anything close to those. So it's the mic.
Different times, though. It's just such different times. I mean, like, and different style. Like, yeah, they might have two of the greatest matches, but they don't have anything that touches those three pops at WrestleMania. Like, the NXT matches are great, and the crowd's into them, but...
Oh, I don't know. That pop that Gargano and Ciampa get when they win.
You're comparing that to WrestleMania 6?
So many more people at WrestleMania 6, though, too. Like, it's, I don't know. I'd have to rewatch them back to back, but I think it's comparable. Like, and I'm not saying that to denigrate WrestleMania 6. I just think the other one is just as incredible.
Five may actually be louder than 6.
Five when they kill Fuji.
Yeah. Like, that pop is sick. And then 4, they're heels and they pop. They also have the double turn as Survivor Series 88, which is real memorable, too. They just have a ton of memorable moments as Demolition. Slamming the Twin Towers at SummerSlam 89.
Such a weird double turn at Survivor Series 88. Like, what is Fuji's problem? Is he just stupid?
Yeah, oh, that's such an awful. It's still stupid. It's a memorable moment. Real stupid. Like, I'm going to ditch the champs for an inferior team to try and win the titles that I already had. It just made no sense. We'll see, I guess, as we watch if there's rifts that form or if it just comes out of nowhere. All right. So Edie was my 75. Who's your 75?
My 75 is Ziggler.
All right. Who I think we talked about pretty comprehensively.
Yeah, we talked about it at length. And,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. 74. I have the Dynamite Kid.
Not on my list.
Okay.
And I know people are going to be very angry.
Very angry. So Dynamite, I will say this. Watching a bunch of the Bulldog stuff, I actually think Davey's underrated in that team. He does. I think he carries a lot of those matches. I don't know if it's because Dynamite ended up being hurt for most of that run. That said, they have a lot of great stuff, and he's great. Not a great promo, not a ton of versatility, but a presence that no one else really had, the ability that no one else really showcased. The match at WrestleMania 2 is just really damn good, and he is a big part of that match. They have some really great stuff with the Hearts, rematches with the Dream Team, pre-matches to 2 with the Dream Team that were really good. Again, I think Davey, obviously, as we'll see, is much higher because he just has a longer career. But I do think Davey deserves more credit for his work in that team. But again, like Edie, I think Dynamite was definitely the guy leading the way in those matches. Even if Davey was doing a lot of the work, Dynamite was kind of the guy directing traffic. So I just think he was so ahead of his time, and just such a good worker that I had to recognize him.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, for me, there's the lack of singles stuff hurts him for me on the list. And I like a lot of the matches you're talking about. I've seen a bunch of them. I haven't seen all of them. I'm partial to guys who performed extremely well on the biggest stages. And
except for Bill Eadie.
Except for?
Bill Eadie.
Yeah. Well, Smash was carrying the team. I didn't want to say that, but that's just a fact. But Dynamite for me, like, you gotta search for those house show matches. Like, and it's fine. I search for them and I watch them, but I just wasn't impressed enough with his big time stuff to really consider. I considered him for the list. I actually think he's the best part of the Wrestling Classic, which is,
yeah. I mean, he carries that show.
Savage does too.
Him and Savage, but he he didn't get a lot of other chances, and like by the time he did, he was just kind of breaking down. Which I think you have to lean a lot on his pre, like late 86 stuff, you know.
Yeah, like for me, it's, you're right. He didn't get a lot of chances, but in the end, his output is his output. You know, so I don't know. It just wasn't enough for me to make the list, and I considered him, but not crazy seriously. So. Okay. If an 80-year-old man shows up at my house and murders me, you're going to know what's up.
I don't think he can wheel away from the cops fast enough, so you're okay.
Yeah.
All right, who's your 74?
74. Important number, 74. Probably contentious as well for the 80-year-old crowd, as I have Finn Balor at 74.
Oh, okay. I did not have him.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't think he has the extreme high like Nakamura did a bit earlier on my list. But I think there's something really interesting about him. I think he does really well in the nuance category. We've never seen him play a heel yet in the company, but when that comes, I think it'll actually boost him up a bit. The whole weirdness of the character with the demon, that demon entrance is really incredible and could become something as big as the Undertaker's entrance if they take it seriously. I think his jump up moments are pretty decent. He's got the first time he shows up in NXT is great. When he does the NXT takeover where he teams with Itami against the Ascension, that whole first entrance is incredible. And it like basically broke the internet that night kind of thing. I think his NXT title matches with Kevin Owens are very good. Some bordering on great. I think a couple of the Samoa Joe matches are legitimately great. I think the Nakamura match is great. He's got a bunch of like just offhand TV matches that I feel are very strong. And then I thought his first night on the main roster where that match where he fights Reigns is fantastic.
Yeah.
And even though he got hurt, the match with Rollins is good. Mm-hmm. And just going forward, I just think he's a guy that, like Nakamura in a lot of ways, like the more they push him, if they do well by him, he'll go far. His body of work isn't huge yet, but he's got matches that are bordering on tippy top quality for me. Not a great promo, but the character's interesting. I like kind of cool thin too in the coat. You know, I like his work in the ring too. I think he's interesting the way he moves. I think he's actually a little bit overrated in terms of work rate. I think he's good. I think he chains moves together really well. I think his offense is dynamic. I think his selling is good for the most part, but then sometimes he forgets things. And I would probably say he naps too much. Like you see him slapping that knee a bit too much for kicks and stuff like that.
Right.
But I think the upside is so big and the nuance is so big that it pushes him on the list for me.
I think he, I feel like he's, straightened out a ship of late, but I think it's after the voting period. Like, I think from his return from injury till now felt wasted. Like the Bray feud was very blah. What was the random pay-per-view match they had him with that was really good? Wasn't he supposed to fight someone and they threw him in a match?
He fought AJ.
Right. That was really good. Not great.
That was in the voting period.
Yeah, that was. I'm saying that was good. But other than that, like he was mired in kind of a lot of muck. I feel like they straightened him out now by putting him with Gallows and Anderson again and letting him be more himself. But I think prior to that, he was kind of lost after his return. But I'm sure he's got enough. But to me, he's like Nakamura, where I don't know if I was familiar enough with his big matches to have included him. I didn't really consider him, honestly.
I have a prediction. At the 2018 Royal Rumble, he'll be the Iron Man.
Oh, that's a good prediction.
Yeah, I think it might happen.
I don't know. I'm hearing rumors he may win and go to WrestleMania. Someone's been telling me that for the last 6 months. All right, so what do we got now? That was so my 73. So this may be a little contentious to me. He may be a little bit low for many, and that's Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff.
I got him a bit higher, okay. So maybe I'll be contentious too, but we'll be contentious together.
That's the best kind of contentiousism.
Hell.
All right, what's your 73, sir?
Pedro Morales.
Pedro. I had him back at 82, so we both voted for Pedro.
Yeah. Within 10 people. I don't like him at all. I always imagined he should have a smaller head than he has. I find his head is, it's big.
Gargantuan.
Yeah. Like, it's fine for his body, but like, he should have a smaller head. Like, he's got a good perm. He's got a decent perm at points. Just such a company stalwart for what, like 15 years?
Yeah.
WWF champion, one of the first intercontinental champions. Crazy over with the crowd. Like, just crazy, crazy over. Terrible in the ring. But just felt so important that, like, this was his, like, as high, this was as low as I felt comfortable putting him. Like, because of his importance. And I'm really just putting him here because of the importance. But, man, he's got some bad matches.
Yeah.
You've watched them.
Yeah, I mean, I know the stuff I've watched is tail end of his career, but it's definitely been there's a lot of rough stuff in there. I don't know. A guy I haven't seen enough of. I was fine having him on my list. I think he earned that spot, but I mean, he was a guy that I just kind of slotted and then moved everyone else around him, and where he landed. Like, I didn't feel strongly enough about him to have him. I knew he'd be in my 100, and I just kind of eyeballed it. And I have him like piggyback with Morocco because I feel like they're almost synonymous during that era of the IC title. So,
right.
And then you tack on his world title run. Should he have been higher? I don't know. Some with more kayfabe memories than me may feel that, but I think, I'm not going to argue your position or defend mine on Pedro. I feel like he belongs in the top 100. So.
Yeah. Right. Like, he's got to be on the list. I don't want to watch any more matches.
Right.
73 felt fine.
Is what it is. All right. My 72, John Tenta, Earthquake, one of my favorite big men. Where's he on your list?
He is not on my list.
What an asshole you are. I know you hate the Nashville Disasters.
You also, didn't you have a rule about getting rid of murderers from your list?
Well, humans. I don't care about animals.
Oh, I see. So all life is not life for you.
Michael Vick would make my list.
Are those dogs dead? Do we know if they're dead?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if it's been confirmed. Any of these guys could be dog killers. Who knows?
But we saw him kill the snake, though.
That's
true.
We witnessed it. But they all could have murdered snakes. I like Earthquake a lot. I think his Hogan feud is great. I love the SummerSlam match. The welts on his back alone should get him on the list. I heard Andy or Chad mention, like, they have really good house show matches, which I haven't seen. But I think of, like, he kind of brought back the monster heel for Hogan, right? Because it had kind of gone away. Like, and Zeus kind of sucked at it, right? So who was, like, the last monster heel for Hogan? Was, like, the Andre Bundy, depends, I guess, how you feel about, like, Boss Man stretch. And Quake kind of came back with a vengeance. Like, him attacking Hogan on the Brother Love Show is, like, my first true memory of a storyline I was into as a kid. Like, that's right when I started watching. And it was emotional, like him murdering him in the on the Brother Love Show, and like the vignettes they would show afterward of like with the slow, somber music, and then like the evil music when Quake squashes him. So I thought he was great, just as a menace. I liked him being kind of a thorn in the side of Hogan and Warrior too, leading up to 6. Like, I thought that was pretty cool. It's neat to see it kind of fuck with both guys. So I love the SummerSlam match. And then even after that, like, I think he still hangs on as a foil, like Survivor Series 90, he's still pretty good. They try to push him into the thing with Tugboat, but he still is the last guy at the 91 Rumble. And then they put him in the Disasters, who I don't mind the actual Disasters at all. I thought the heel run should have been a little bit longer. I feel like they turned him kind of quick, but I get it. And I actually like them as faces. Like, I like the happy-go-lucky big man. They're always kind of smiling and smirking. They're confident. I thought that he actually sold fairly well for a face. And then I like him at Rumble 93 when he tosses Tugboat, right? I think in that match, or Typhoon, they kind of fight and he throws him out and just kind of is like, fuck
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
And then he leaves, but then he comes back and I think he's got the WrestleMania 10 is a fun moment where he kills Adam Bomb. And then the sumo match is really fun too. And then I'll even throw his Oddity stuff in. He was the worker of that group. And they were super over for a stretch in 98, in a late 98. And he was like the guy that always worked the matches because nobody else could. And he lost a bunch of weight. And I think he could have maybe been more than he was. But like, that's a group that was, you know, a decent mid to upper card comedy team for a while. Like, they were presented pretty strongly for a few months. And they were super over with the South Park stuff and all that. So, and again, he was kind of the leader of that group. So, I mean, I'm just a big fan of his. I'm not going to, I feel like he belongs on the list for this. I think he's a memorable character. The earthquake splashes are memorable with the aftershocks and all that stuff. He's got some really good jump up moments. And I just think he's one of my faves.
You had me until you started gushing over the goddamn Oddities.
Come on. I didn't gush. I didn't say they were really over. They weren't over. They were super over.
Everybody was over.
Yeah, but they were over.
Oh, Road Dogg is way more over. Way more over. Look, he's the worker.
If Road Dogg had anything close to Hogan Quake. All right, we'll talk.
Road Dogg, Billy Gunn. Okay, if it had happened to King of the Ring 99, which it didn't. They missed the boat with that one.
Actually, I defend that one. That's another one in the time I thought was stupid. But rewatching when Scott and I did those, I thought the Xbox thing made sense. I like the story of Xbox in that show. It's one of the few highlights.
I did too, actually. It just, they never had a proper decent blow off Road Dogg and Billy Gunn. They had a match on pay-per-view, but it was kind of nothing.
Yeah.
Earthquake. Yeah. Not long enough for me as a top, as a singles guy, which obviously I don't have a problem with on some levels because I have like Balor and Nakamura on my list. But to me, like, his matches don't come close to those guys' matches. Mm. I like the Hogan feud. I think it's fun. It doesn't hold any sort of special place for me, during that time. And I was watching at the time. I don't know why. I think by that point, maybe I was not that I was done Hogan, but I was moving on, I guess, in my fandom. And looking back, I think it's solid, but I don't think it's groundbreaking. If not for the natural disasters, I probably would have included them on my list. I just hate them. I just hate them. I think they killed the tag division along with Money Inc. and Lazy LOD. So, and his Oddity stuff is, I actually don't have a problem with those busting your balls, but it's fine. Like, it's fine for what it is. The Adam Bomb thing's fine. But it just doesn't feel like enough for me. Like, I would have liked to have seen more, or at the very least, a longer dominant run out of him. Like, I compare him to King Kong Bundy. Like, I find the King Kong Bundy stuff is stronger than the Earthquake stuff. I think maybe the Earthquake initial attack might be better than, say, King Kong Bundy breaking Hogan's ribs. But just the entire package of Bundy feels like a better presentation of what this is.
I don't know. I think the Quake character is more memorable. And also, we kind of mentioned it joking, but him killing Damien is pretty memorable, too. Cooking the snake burgers on primetime and all that stuff.
And leading to Jake, like, losing his mind.
Right, yeah. I mean, that started as Jake's run into the, you know, descent of heelness, right? Was that whole, the killing of Damien is what you can track everything back to. Also, one of my other favorite moments is when he's on the barbershop and he's in the chair and Beefcake straps him in and throws the fake snake on him and he flops around and the Stooges in the barber chair. I just think he's a, and we didn't even talk about him as a worker. I just think he's a really good worker for a big man.
I think he's good. Like I don't actually have a problem with Earthquake. I have a problem with Earthquakes.
Who's your 72?
72. Speaking of Earthquakes, Pat Patterson is my 72.
San Francisco, is that the tie-in there?
Yeah, it's a candlestick park.
I have him substantially higher, so.
Yeah, so we'll talk about him then.
Okay. My 71 is, I guess I can do my 71 and 70, both, is the Usos. You had them lower, so I think we
had them in the 90s.
Talked about them a bit, but I think their last 2 years have really is what brought them up here. I think I've seen it thrown around, but I mean, you know, maybe a top 2 to 3 team in all time in Doty history. So I think that raises them up. I really enjoy those promos. I thought talking smack was super beneficial for them. I thought they were great on that show. They were weekly watch on that show. Yeah, and I think they even had matches even before that, like the one with the, was it Money in the Bank 13 that we've talked about it, where they fight the Wyatts?
14.
The Shield, whatever, one of them. No, Money in the Bank 13. The I feel like we've done this exact conversation before. They have one there on the pre-show. That's really
I feel
good.
Like you've, everybody's listened to it also.
Yes, so anyway, I'll stop. They're really good. They belong here. I don't mind putting them around here. To me, if you're looking at, you know, the greatest tag team, to me that, you know, so... Like the one team I definitely put above them, like I think it's the Rockers, right? So I had Jannetty a little bit lower because I think their run was a little bit shorter. I have Michaels obviously way higher, but as a straight tag team for guys that have never done anything singles, and I think I saw the stat the other day, like they're the longest running team now in history without a breakup, yeah. which is amazing. So I think they at least should be here in the around the 70 range, just because if my argument is that they're the best tag team or at least a top 2 to 3, they belong to be pretty high up the list.
Yeah, I would actually argue they are the best tag team.
Better than the Rockers?
Like for me, I guess I just – pardon me?
Better than the Rockers.
Yeah, like I was going to ask you, what Rockers matches would you put ahead of their top matches?
Orient Express.
You'd put that ahead of, say, the Wyatt stuff, or like the 2 out of 3 Wyatt match, or the New Day Hell in the Cell.
See, this is all stuff I gotta like. The modern era to me is stuff I just blend so much. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just a thing where they don't stick out in my mind as much. Like, I know they're great and they've had great matches, but I can't pinpoint stuff anymore like I could
right.
In the day. So, to me, the Rocker stuff is more memorable in my mind. So, yeah, maybe the Usos have a couple more high-level matches, but I thought the Rockers more consistent. Like, the Usos have – we're talking about them now, but their 2009 or whatever the fuck they debuted until 14 was also a bunch of just kind of randomness, right?
They were still really good, though. Like I don't think they were having like 5-star matches or anything, but like in a company that didn't care about tag team matches, you could usually be counted on them to at least go out and have a very good match. Oh, characters, forget it. Like yeah, their character stuff is the last 2 years.
Right. So
But then again, do you really think the Rockers were memorable as characters?
I think at that time.
Jeff, I remember at the time finding it. Like watching it as a kid, I love the Rockers. By the way, I'd probably put them at 2 or 3. So, this is the discussion we're having. But I remember at the time feeling so, feeling like the Rockers themselves were very bland, like having to remember who the blonde one was and who the brunette one was to remember their names. Like loving the matches and loving
but
them
you
as
could,
a team.
So you knew Jimmy and Jay every time.
No, but okay. I don't. I actually don't think that they're. I don't think Jimmy and Jay are terrific characters either. Like, I think it's only recently that that's become a thing. And I think that their character work now is probably better than any of the character work the Rockers did. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I said they could be the greatest. 1-2. Anyway,
yeah.
I think from a pure tag team sense, to me, they're the highest ranked tag team where one guy isn't substantially higher than the other. So that's pretty much represented here. I have guys who I think maybe were better tag wrestlers that have other runs on top of them, which we'll get to. But as a pure tag team without the singles run, I think they go here.
Yeah, and I don't want to see them in a singles run.
No, I hope not. I'm fine with them never breaking up.
Yeah, why? We can't tell them apart. Who are we going to cheer for?
Right. They'd have to, like, one would have to shave his head or something.
Ugh, no. No.
All right, who's your 71 then? Well, you can do your 71 and your 70 if you want.
Sure, but both of them are guys I believe you have substantially higher. So my 71 is Rick Martel.
Oof, yeah, way higher.
Yeah, and my 70 is William Regal.
Higher, not as much as Rick Martel, but higher. All right. Well, let's get into the 60s then. My 69 is King Booker. Who you had is 78, so higher, but not crazy higher.
Yeah.
It's funny because Chad, I was listening to him kind of break down Booker quite a bit and how much he dropped on his list and rewatching a lot of stuff. And I mean, 06 is, you know, some of the most recent stuff Scott and I have watched, which is Booker's best character run, but again, kind of shaky in the in ring. I don't not like the Benoit series as much as others. Like, I know they kind of joked in that the best matches of the Benoit series were the ones where Orton stepped in for him. But I actually thought him and there's a couple with him and Benoit in late 05 I really like. He does suck for stretches of time. 04 is one of them, especially like early 04 when he's a face and he's teaming with like RVD, like that's kind of bland. And then he turns heel, he has a little bit of a bump, and then he kind of sinks back down. And then he turns face again. I kind of like the match with him and JBL at Survivor Series, and I like him in the Armageddon four-way. And then he gets kind of caught up in the whole Kurt bestiality sex stuff, which, you know, however your mileage may vary on that. And that ends up leading into the heel run. But his first early stuff, I thought, you know, he's the first major player to come over in the Invasion. Memorable jump-up moment for the wrong reason when he breaks Steve Austin in half. But that's a huge moment at King of the Ring 01 when he debuts. And then I like his feud with The Rock. I like the handicap match at Unforgiven. The match at SummerSlam is pretty good. You know, he's involved in the, you mentioned before, like the guys in the big matches at Invasion. Like he's in those, both in the Invasion pay-per-view and Survivor Series. I know it gets joked a lot, there's like the shampoo thing, but that was some really good character work for him during that stretch. The shampoo thing's goofy, but he's really funny in it. And then all the Goldust stuff, like Book Dust, is really fun. Both as a team, like the evolution of him going from the NWO to siding with Goldust and breaking up the NWO, I think is like great. And then their feud with all the Canadian guys, like toward the end of the year when they finally win the belts, is a great moment. It's a great story. Goldust talking about how he's gonna, you know, the one that keeps costing them, he's the weak link. And Booker says, "Give it one more chance," and then they win. Like that's such a good story. And his pop actually, or he's really good in the 02 Rumble, I think it is, or one of the Rumbles, he's really good. He's there 02 or 03. One, he comes in late and gets tossed pretty quick. That might be 02. And then, you know, the Triple H stuff, I don't really hang on him. Like, I like the match with, what happens, doesn't he win a battle, was it the Battle Royal he wins at Raw? Right, Raw.
Yeah.
So, like, that was pretty good. And then, you know, again, I don't blame him. I actually think the 19 match isn't bad until the end. And the feud in the booking isn't on him. So I think he's got a lot of good stuff, and the King Booker shit really pushes it over the top. Also, his pop at the 11 Rumble is really fun, too, when he returns.
Yeah, I would agree with you on all that. I think he's just hurt again by, like, not having the big match. Like, what's his best match? Is it one of the ones with Benoit, probably? Like his best singles match.
Yeah. I have to recheck in where I was on SummerSlam 01 again with Rock.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Probably
might have had that at like.
Yeah. Probably either that or the Benoit stuff. Also, he's got, like, he's got the supermarket fight too, which is a great jump up moment.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Where his dick is hanging out.
Yeah, like he's just hurt by not having that great, like that number one great match. He's hurt by, there's just periods where he's completely unmotivated, which is kind of difficult. Like I would say like 2004, he's got a couple of good matches in 2005, but 2004 until he turns King Booker, like it's just not, he's just not a real fun character to watch very often. But I do like him. I do like him a lot. He made the Invasion fun at first. I liked his stuff. I loved the "Tell Me You Didn't Say That" stuff. I hated that thing where they tried to make him look like a car thief. I don't know if you remember that, like him hijacking the hot wiring the car. End of 01.
Yeah.
I didn't like, I'm like, what are you doing with this guy? yeah. And that's,
how about Vince calling him the N-word? That's
right.
Jump a moment.
That's right. Oh, I can't believe no one has brought that up.
Has he had a big Mania match? I mean, I guess 19 is supposed to be it. But other than that, because even 21, he's got the, it's just the boogeyman shit.
Yeah. Is that 21 or 22?
22. I don't think he's at 21.
No.
Yeah, 22 is boogeyman. No. 23, he's in the Money in the Bank, I think. And then he
Yeah, he's in the Money in the Bank right there.
You know what's You know what's a surprisingly feisty match is him and Kane. No Way Out 07. I was my memory of the match was that it sucked, but when Scott and I watched it, I actually ended up liking it a decent amount.
How did you feel when Triple H came back and beat the crap out of him?
Yeah, like very late era Booker. Like I hate that match. Yeah. And then he's gone. He wasn't bad in the five way or whatever the fuck it is with Foley and Cena over the summer that year.
No, that was fine. And I mean, King Booker really is inspired. Like
it's great. That character run is epic.
He changed his entire demeanor. Like he looked like he cared about his subjects. There was like a benevolence on his face at all times that I loved.
So good. I love when he would just snap and go out of character. Like that's so good, you know?
Yeah.
He's talking with his regal voice and then, you know, he gets pissed and he just starts yelling like normal. And all the King's Court stuff is just really fun. But yeah, I mean, the matches suffer. The Batista feud is bad. I think that's on both of them. They had the real life heat and they couldn't get over it in the matches. Like SummerSlam 06 is just a bad match. And then Survivor Series isn't much better. But anyway.
I also find that by the time he really got the chance to like to do stuff in the company, he wasn't like washed up, but he was on his way to being washed up. So kicks weren't as right. What's the word? He just wasn't as smooth and
crisp. Yeah,
yeah, crisp.
I thought they brought up a good point on the Andy and Chad show when they mentioned like in WCW he almost came in overrated. Because he was the best of just a real putrid lot at the end of WCW. And he represented right. The young, the youth, the guys that should be getting pushed. So I think he did get, like, more fondly remembered than, you know, or looked upon at that time in the moment. And I think he just, when he came over, he just wasn't really at that level, you know. but I think his 06 stuff is just so good that, to me, it pushes him up the list. Even though the matches aren't quite there. I think he's got enough... good, but yeah, there are definitely down moments. That's what keeps him from me for like really elevating up is not having those, you know, not having the consistency.
Yeah, and it's a shame. Like if he had had just a handful of great matches as King Booker, we'd be having a completely different conversation. If he could have delivered in that role. So my number 69. Mm-hmm. When you picked Booker, was that the person you would most like to have a 69 with?
I do like the Dreads.
Right?
At the Legends convention, Royal Rumble weekend, he was riding around on a little hoverboard, which I thought was funny.
that's a fun thing right here, right now. So my number 69... when we speak of perms, is Ken Patera. Now you have him higher, I believe.
Creamy likes Ken. Yes, I do have him higher. Not by much, but I do have him higher. All right. So my 68 is a JBL.
And 68, I actually have him quite a bit higher as well.
Okay. So we'll get to him. So who is your 68?
68, Sasha Banks.
Sasha Banks. I do not have, did I have her? Yes, I did. I had her at 92. I think I talked about her a bit. Talk to me quick about Sasha.
Look.
Okay, I'm looking. Yes.
Yeah. Look. Just look in my eyes right now. From your house to mine, Sasha. I think there's an argument to be made that for a short period of time, she was close to being the best worker in the company. I think her 2015 is just incredible. I think she's so good in the ring during that period. She's such an interesting character. And she's got that resume of matches with Bayley, which I guess still probably the best women's matches of all time. We'll see what happens going further. To me, the original one, too, clocks in at 5 stars for mm-hmm. me. Just because of the emotional involvement too, but it's all based on the Sasha Banks character as well. It's not just Bayley; it's right. Sasha Banks as well in that role. And it didn't start there. She had been good for a while. Like the match where she wins the title in a 4-way, she was great. She's got a great match with Becky Lynch leading up to in that summer as well. So I just think there was an aura about her for such a while that she was a very important part of the women being taken seriously. I dare say maybe even the most important part of it, because I think Charlotte kind of started paving the way for that, but mm-hmm. Sasha Banks kind of transcended what Charlotte did in NXT. Now on the main roster, their fortunes have kind of reversed a bit, but I still think Sasha's good out there. Like she was, her series with Charlotte was very good. I like that they trusted her enough to do the Hell in the Cell. I think her resume is strong. I think she's extremely important, and I think the character is top notch.
Yeah, I feel like if we did this in 2018, I'd probably have her higher versus 2017. I really thought she was a key part of the Women's Rumble. Like, I was impressed that they let her kind of drive that, and she was the steadying force out there throughout most of it. I thought she did the same in the Chamber, too. So, like, I think she's actually having a real strong 18 so far. So I think she would raise up my list if this 18 continues for her. Yeah, I just think a lot of her main roster stuff besides the Charlotte matches, like, there's not much else besides that.
Yeah, I just don't know how much of that I hold against her. Like, because, like, it seems like everybody who comes up, that's the case.
Yeah, I know. But she, again, that's...
It's the output, I know.
The book is the book, right? So.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I guess that Bayley series is just so important for me that, like, it negates the somewhat lackluster stuff on the main roster.
Right. Okay. That's fair.
Like, is she, maybe this is too early to ask this on the list, but is she the best female wrestler of all time?
No,
might be too early on the list.
Right. I think there's probably one more, right?
Yeah, one or two.
Okay. China. Yeah.
Number one in our hearts.
Right. I think that's probably, she's probably top three. She's probably top three.
Yeah.
Depends how you consider Velvet McIntyre, who I've become a fan of.
Yeah. I mean, she's an exceptional talent. You know?
All right. God, so,
the more we talk, the sadder I get. I just get sadder and sadder.
Why is that?
Velvet McIntyre, like, just make me long for the good old days.
I've actually been impressed with Velvet. You can hear about that on last week's podcast. We talked to Survivor Series 87. Or whenever this drops. Check out the Survivor Series 87 podcast. All right, my 67, who I know you probably have higher because you're such a fucking mark, and that is Psycho Sid Udy.
Yeah, I have him higher because you're wrong.
Okay. It's bogus!
The most bogus act you ever pulled off.
I like how he's got a list of bogus acts by Jack Tunney. This is the most bogus.
That period is maybe my favorite run of anything ever.
It is really good. It is really good. All right, so we'll talk about him. So who's your 67?
Alberto Del Rio.
Okay, I did not rank him.
No.
There is a stretches that I really like of his. His last run kind of soured me. And honestly, when we were doing this was when all the Page stuff was going on. And I probably had that in my mind a lot when I was looking and considering where to put him. And that really soured me too. And I just, he's just like, I didn't factor in much morality besides the murder.
Clearly not earthquakes on your list.
Right. But he, like, him as a person just does not seem like a good guy. And I just, like, he was already fringy for me, you know what I mean? And then, like, I think I had him in my honorable mentions, but he's already fringy enough for me and then just not giving me much of a reason to really consider him. But I do really like his face run. I think that's overlooked as kind of the Mexican Rocky in 13. I think that part of his run gets overlooked.
Yeah, we kind of had to talk about him in the honorable mentions. We mentioned some of his moments. I just think his ring work is really good.
Yeah.
Like, I really enjoy, like, I don't put a lot of weight into work rate. Like, it's probably the category, promos is probably worse, but like, I find everything about him is believable in the ring. The way he moves, the way he kicks. There's a stiffness to him early in his career, but I like that because it made him look different than everybody else. I thought the character was a bit lacking, but I really like the ring announcer guy.
And he had all, like, the pieces for the character, but they never really, like, hammered it home.
No, I think he should have just been a straight asshole instead of a rich asshole. Because I think he's probably an asshole.
I think that's
like, even though he, Like, even though he went on TNA pay-per-view and was like, I didn't do anything. Like he did stuff. We know you did stuff.
Right. We know you're a piece of shit.
Like, yeah, we know. Come on. Like, but yeah, no, I just like watching him. Like I just rewatched, I've been rewatching 2011 and like, I thought the Edge match at WrestleMania 27 was quite good. Mm-hmm. I think he's really good in the Money in the Bank in 2011. The Punk match at the Survivor Series is really strong too. I'm with you on the face run. I love the Christian match at SummerSlam 2013. That match on any other card is probably the best match on the show.
Right.
That card is just incredible. The Ziggler double turn is perfect in a lot of ways.
Yep.
I think he's really good in the first Andre the Giant Battle Royal. Like I don't really hear a lot of people talking about him in that, but I think he really holds it together a lot. Like you remember Cesaro, but like Del Rio's kicking everyone in that match and really helping it move along. I like the return match against Cena, but then once we got past that, I didn't like very much of what he did. Although the feud with Kalisto I thought was all right.
Yeah.
Like, I thought they had a good back and forth.
Well, then he kept doing this stupid stomp thing. Like that was, I mean,
so stupid.
That didn't look real. Like you mentioned, his offense looked real, but
why would you hold yourself up for it?
Right, it was dumb. Yeah. I do like the League of Nations. I know they were maligned at the time, but I just love those guys. Like they really bought into it. I love the celebration. They're so over the top and goofy. I did enjoy that part of it. I don't know if it was him per se, but them as a unit, I enjoyed.
See, I feel he didn't fit into the unit.
Right. Yeah, right. You're right. It was more Sheamus. And, you know, we've seen it since, right? Because Rusev is great. And Sheamus is doing the same buddy act with Cesaro, and it's great, right? So I think it's pretty clear that it was not Del Rio. But he actually looked like he didn't want to be there half the time during that thing.
Yeah. And, like, I'm sure they promised him a lot more than that when he came back. I think it's so stupid that for that 40-man Rumble, they put him in at number 37.
Right.
I think that was the dumbest thing they could have possibly done.
Right, put him in at 27, so at least in the record books, he's in the normal range.
Or he can do something.
Right.
Like, but yeah, I just really like his ring work, and that's kind of what put him above for me, and there's enough jump-up moments to kind of, looking at it now, I probably shouldn't have my head of Sasha Banks after what I said about her, so maybe that would be an adjustment, but he would still probably comfortably make my list. Like, he comfortably makes the list over William Regal for me, which I know would be sacrilege to some. But.
Stupid, not sacrilege.
Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you. It's bogus.
You.
All right.
The most bogus act.
So bogus. All right, my 66 is The Big Show.
Oh. Higher.
Okay.
Higher. He's like, big.
He's the evolution. He's like the richer man's Kane as far as like, you know, been around for a while, accumulated a lot of shit. But his highs are higher than Kane.
Yeah, way higher.
All right, so who's your 66?
Ho! Tough guy!
All right, we talked about him, I believe, in depth. I had him at like 99, I think.
Yeah. Ho!
You want to say anything else about the Dugan, or you good?
No, I just want to reiterate that he invented the catchphrase.
Ho?
Yeah.
Is that, where Ludacris, catch? Is that where Ludacris got the song from? Use the hoe?
Yeah, of course. Okay. That's where all the rappers, they're all branched out from Jim Duggan.
All closet Duggan fans. All right. So I've had WrestleMania 28 on in the background and pre-boob job Nikki Bella just rattled me right now.
Wait, don't say that you shouldn't talk about her boob job. Okay. That's not what defines her.
I didn't say define her, but it was an observation I made right now.
First thing you mentioned, though. Okay?
Well,
first thing you mentioned.
That's what I looked at. Her boobs. Johnny. Well, I couldn't tell if it was her or Brie. And then I realized it's because she didn't have the boobs yet. And then the graphic said Nikki Bella. Big Johnny's suit still holds up, by the way.
Oh, that white suit is amazing. Is it on that show where they take that picture with Otunga, or is that another one?
I don't know. I'll see. Because that match is
starting. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. I'll see in a minute. Because that match is starting right now. They're all coming out.
It's probably like 2 minutes long. So.
Sean, by the way, so over the top in that fucking cell match. All right. 65. This is the first time we actually had someone at the same slot. And there's a few of these coming up. And that is the Empress of Tomorrow. Is that what it is? Empress of Tomorrowland.
So not the Empress of Today. Like, is she not the Empress?
No, it's like Saved by the Bell, the college years. What was the tagline? I'm drawing a blank now.
Your guys
are living on the edge of tomorrow today. I think that's what it is.
It's a mystery to me.
Mm-hmm. Evolution's a mystery.
Small changes, my friend.
Talk to me about Oscar. Not Oscar.
Oh, he's a grouch.
I meant Men on a Mission.
No. But yeah.
Asuka.
Well, would she'd be in the conversation too, in terms of best women wrestler of all time?
She was one of the other two I was talking about, yep.
Yeah. I mean, what can you say about her? Like, there, she transcends the women's division. She's so good. Like, is there a weakness in her game? She looks like a killer. Okay, she acts like a killer. She's unlike anyone else you've ever seen.
She makes Glenn Butler giddy.
Right.
Like Gaga, like head over heels. So to me, that's working.
That's a win right there.
Yeah.
Her chemistry with the audience is so strange. Like the way she moves. Like I've never seen a character that like dances like such a fool, but then will give you a concussion.
Right.
One kick. Her character's one note, but it's nuanced. Like.
Yes.
She's on the edge of being a heel. Like
she's
right
on tomorrow today.
Yes, and she's also the Empress of
tomorrow,
our future. Right?
Today,
her debut was good. I love her series with Bayley. When she wins the title, the crowd reaction is amazing.
Yeah,
because they're like they don't know what to do. And what I wrote in terms of my notes, like I was writing down the matches, and I just wrote every takeover because she's just excellent on all of them.
She is.
I don't know if there's one where she's not. She doesn't have a huge body of work, and she probably needs to succeed on the main roster going forward.
But she also doesn't have, like, to me, what puts her above, like, a Bayley and a Sasha, she hasn't been up as long, so she hasn't had as many opportunities, but she hasn't had that downstretch because she hasn't been here as long.
Right. And it looks like they're doing the right thing with her.
Right.
Like, it looks like they're just going to let her go. Like, there's only a handful of women in company history that, like, when I find when you watch them, not that you forget you're watching women,
mm-hmm.
but the work doesn't look like a different style of work than the men.
Right.
Like, I mean, we talked about Trish Stratus, and, like, for me, how it always just looked like it was that little bit slower, like, the strikes were, like, a little bit looser, you know? Whereas with her and a couple others, it's just, okay, this is just a fight, and it looks like a fight.
Right.
Like, her submissions are great. Her strikes are great. And her matches tell stories. Like that Bayley match, like it tells a great story of Bayley just not being able to beat her and not being able to do anything against her. And I just think that like you give this one more time and she's going to be, she'll go down with more time and a consistent push. She'll go down as the greatest woman in company history.
I think so too. I mean, I think if it continues and they continue to give her, you know, people to work with, it'll go that way. Her character is so developed and, yeah, no, she's great. I mean, the crowd's super into her. Yeah, I think you said it all.
Yeah.
There's much else to say. She's great. And yes, I think if we did this another 5 years, 10 years, whatever, I think if the women's division and I think they're past a revolution, right? If all that continues and they keep it seriously, which I think they will, she's not going to get more and more opportunities. She's not going to, I don't think she'll regress. Like it wouldn't shock me if she's like top 30, you know what I mean? Or something like that, like another 5 or 10 years.
Maybe higher.
Yeah.
Because it depends what her influence is, right?
Right.
Like if women's wrestling keeps going on the trajectory it's going, and it could be because they're bringing in Rousey and stuff like that. Like if it keeps going up and she has like that major influence on it, who knows? Maybe top 20 even.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'd have to look at my top 20 and determine like who would move down, but I think it's not out of the question for sure. All right. Who's yours? All right. So that was your 65. My 64 is Kevin Nash.
I have him a bit higher.
All right. Who's your 64?
If you've ever taken a trip down to Cobb County, Georgia.
I did, to visit Chad. So Big Boss Man I have higher. So we'll wait on him. My 63 is the guy who I kind of referenced before when I said people that I think may be better tag workers but have single stuff too, and that's Cesaro, who I think has a case as maybe the greatest tag worker in company history?
I have him higher. Okay. So we'll talk. Would you put him ahead of someone like Goldust for that?
See, that's tough. I feel like Cesaro has excelled in three teams. You know what I mean? Like, really great.
Whereas Goldust has excelled character-wise in a bunch of teams.
Right.
But only really with Cody was the one, for me, that where the work clicked in.
And it's tough because the character was such a big part of it before then, and he was kind of out of shape. You know what I mean? Like, we know he can be a great tag worker from his Dustin Rhodes stuff, you know, just if you take it outside WWE. So, I mean, yeah, they're up there. They're both up there. And, like, a Brett is up there, too. Like, obviously, he's a great tag worker.
But sure.
Cesaro's just, like, he's excellent. I mean, anytime he's floundering, they stick him in a team, and the team becomes awesome, right? It happened with Swagger, which was great. And then it happens with Kid, which is, like, next, you know, the next step up from that was great. And to save both the careers, Kid almost dies. He flounders a bit. They stick him with Sheamus, and that's just been, like, excellent work, you know?
It's the best one.
Right. He's gotten better every time. So when Sheamus has to retire with his neck injury, poor Cesaro, when he touches, injured, he gets injured, and he ends up maybe with someone even better. Yeah,
maybe they'll put him with Rusev.
Oh, no, that'd be a dream. Yeah. All right, so he's okay. So we'll talk about him in a bit. Who do you got at 63?
63, I got Charlotte, but I think you have her higher. So.
I do. So we'll talk about her, but obviously she's who I think is currently the best, greatest of all time for women.
I would agree with you.
All right, 62, I think we can finally pause here because this is where I have old Creamy Legs Ken Patera. You had him back at 69, that sexual beast that he is.
Sexual beast Ken Patera.
That's what he's known as. Oh, God, I think he's a great heel. Synonymous, I think, with the IC title for a stretch there. I love the stuff where they shave Andre's head. I think he actually got the shaft, not being involved at WrestleMania 1. I know the Burger King thing had happened or the McDonald's thing had happened, but he doesn't get like arrested till like later in the year, like when they actually bring him in, or convict him or whatever. So I think it was kind of unfair for them to leave him off, WrestleMania. I'm not saying he should have wrestled, but at least like they don't even mention him and he's such a big part of the build. Like why not just have him in Stud's corner for the match? Like,
yeah,
you know, he helps him cut his hair. They have a match at MSG in January, Andre and Patera. That's super hot. And then he's just not there. Which was weird. So his comeback in 87, obviously not setting the world on fire, but the Bobby stuff has a couple moments, like him whipping around the ring and fucking his neck up in the debate. The Ken Patera story with the prison things. And then he actually has a little stretch of feistiness, like better than I remembered. He had a couple of good MSG matches, better than I thought. And then I thought he's pretty good at Survivor Series too in that match. He works with a lot of energy. I don't think he really goes off the cliff until 88. Like that SummerSlam 88 match is one you always think of as just awful. But 87, like he's still pretty good in the ring. Like I don't think he falls off just yet. And then his early 80s, like heel stuff is just really good in late 70s. I mean, the full Nelson, the look, just all that stuff. I thought he's just a great heel. So I think this is a good spot for him, for a guy that maybe struggle a little bit to have that, what's that real peak match. And, you know, he's kind of spotty, but he's just a real rock solid during a stretch where, heels or heels.
Yeah, I think he's really a great character early on. I enjoy his work for the most part. You're right. He's pretty feisty at the moments in 87. He stands out like a sore thumb on that Hogan team, though. That Survivor Series. Like, to me, he's just got no business.
Yeah, but see, again, if you watch 87, like, he does kind of fit because, you know, he's got the Bobby stuff. I don't know. Yeah, it's interesting if you watch it. Yeah.
Maybe I'll go back and do it. You're right. Pasty legs. He needed new gear when he came back. It just didn't work anymore.
Yes.
He needed a haircut. Like, you can't be a wrestler and have that haircut. Like, it just doesn't work.
No.
But yeah, his original high heel stuff, I'm quite a fan of. And the more I watch of him, the more I enjoy him. So he's a guy that if I researched even more and more, would probably climb the list a little bit.
Right. Okay. Who's your 62?
Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff.
Hey, Mr. Wonderful. So I had him at 73. I guess maybe that's more, I don't know. His second face run has actually been better than I remembered it. So maybe I would have bumped him more, like if I had watched that before I voted. Like, I just kind of thought he petered out after he turned. But I've actually enjoyed it decently enough. Like, he's still had a lot of fire. The Rude feud is pretty good. The crowds are still super into him. So I think, again, if I had seen that before voting, I might have bumped him a bit. Obviously, just a great heat magnet. The original run in 85 is just great. The TNT where he's working out with the fat chick in the gym. And WrestleMania 1. His face run, his feud with Piper is great, but then he kind of peters into like WrestleMania 2 and all that.
You don't like what he does in WrestleMania 2?
Awful. But the feud with Piper in 85 is great. That Saturday's main event match is awesome. And then obviously the heel turn is iconic. The matches with Hogan are really good. It sucks that he's left off WrestleMania 3. Solid promo, if not a little very racist at times. Yeah, great character, a good promo, better heel than face. We didn't really see a ton of tag stuff from him. A couple of jump ups. So, yeah. I mean, again, probably someone I maybe should have had a little bit higher, but he obviously very well deserving to be on the list.
Yeah, I mean, that cage match he has with Hogan is one of my favorite matches from when I was a kid. Like, it was on the Hulkamania 2 tape, and I must have rented that thing, like, 20 times just to watch that match, like, as a child. And him coming down to his music, and
that's such a good heel douche move.
Yeah, like, I just remember all of that so fondly. For me, he's just one of those memorable characters that stuck with me even to this day. And I wish there was, like, kind of, like, more... I wish there was more meat on the bones of a lot of his other work outside of the Hogan stuff.
Right.
But on the back of that, he still ends up high for me.
I agree. The Piper stuff would probably be his next best, I would say.
Yeah. Well, what would be after that?
Well, do you combine the Hogan? I mean, I'd say the like WrestleMania 1 era Hogan stuff is really good. Like that feud with T and all that.
Yeah, okay.
So sure. Those are probably his top three, and then maybe Rude 4, probably.
Yeah, okay. I buy that.
Okay. All right, so he was your 62. So my 61 is a guy you didn't have, huh? Adrian Adonis? Is he not on your list?
Yeah, he's not on my list.
I really dug watching him. Even when he gets fat, his selling and bumping is so good. His stooging is so good. The effeminate character, he kind of gets typecast into this. Like you see him as being kind of a goof character in a way that the way, but he does it. The way they promote it is actually a little bit like if it's Gorilla on a house show is not as enlightened, but like a Jesse and a Vince or whatever it is more so, where the Jesse always put over the, like, he's tougher than he looks thing. Like, you know, he may be dressing this way and acting this way, but he's still a tough son of a bitch in the ring. I think he's got some good jump up moments, mainly with Piper and the flower shop and all that stuff. But even his work with the East West Connection or North South, which one of they always get him confused? East West, right? Him and Murdoch,
California, New York.
Yeah,
it could be both.
Right, it could be both. I love when he comes down in the friggin' there's a TNT where him and Murdoch show up while the was it Strongbow? Which Native American wrestlers was it? They're like outside, like doing like a rain dance, and they pull up in their Cadillac and just beat the shit out of them, like start mocking them and stuff. And they did those spoofs too, where like Adonis would go to Texas and then Murdoch would go to New York. Those were on TNT. So like he was really good in that run. I like him at Wrestling Classic too. I think he's pretty good there. And then even as adorable, like his bumping and selling is just so good. I just think he's a real good worker.
Yeah, what I've seen of him, I've liked. I do think he's a great bumper. I like his work in the ring. He just doesn't have the highs for me.
Yeah.
He just doesn't have the highs to make it. And that's really all it came down to. I can't really say anything bad about him. I enjoy his work. I don't love looking at him. I'll be honest. It's not pleasant at times. But I don't know. It just didn't fit for me on my list.
Well, like, what's a Cody Rhodes high over him?
I would say I really like the I really like his transition from dashing to Dr. Doom, where he's scared of showing his face. And I would say I like the Rey Mysterio series probably better than stuff I've seen from Adrian Adonis.
I'd put Adonis Piper over anything like he's done. Cody's done.
Oh, Adonis Piper's big. Yeah, you're right. I also really like Cody Randy Orton when Randy was champion, and I love the tag match with
the Shield. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's those.
All right. So that was my 61. Who's your 61?
My 61 is Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Okay, I have him a bunch higher, so he'll be an interesting one to break down. There's a lot of lines there mixed in to the Heenan rankings.
Yes.
All right. My 60 is the Iron Sheik.
I have him a little bit higher.
Okay, so we'll touch on him in a moment then. Who's your 60?
Mark Henry.
I have him just a touch higher, and he belongs there. He belongs there. It's not like anyone we're going to make fun of. All right. Your
59.
Yeah, my 59 is Cowboy Bob Orton.
Yeah, I don't have him on the list, so let's do it.
I think he just falls into this bucket for me of the Patera, Orndorff, Adonis, or like that era where the heels were heels. They were hot. Yes, he may not have the 5-star match, but a consummate worker. Anytime he's out there, like, you know, you had mentioned a couple guys before that are just, you never see him have a bad match. Like, that's Cowboy Bob to me. His match with Hogan at Science Man Event's really good. The stuff with Piper after he turns is good. Him and Morocco have some pretty good tag matches. The cast is super memorable, right? I mean, the big moment at WrestleMania 1, the boxing stuff with T leading into 2. So, and he's just a fun character. Him and Piper were a great team. So, I like him a lot. Again, you know, this bunch of guys, maybe in retrospect, maybe would be a little bit lower, that group of Adonis, Orton, Patera. But, you know, I'm kind of reliving that whole time period right now, so they're kind of high for me.
Okay. So, like, you just kind of lump them together for no other reason than that?
I just think they're all, like, rock-solid heels that were consummate workers, great heel machines, great heat machines, had some, you know, were involved in big feuds, whether it be with Hogan or whoever else, during that mid-'80s hot period.
Yeah.
Patera probably a little bit outside of that because he has 70 stuff, too. But, like, definitely Orndorff, Adonis, Orton all kind of, like, scream similar to me during that. You know, maybe Morocco, too, would be, like, kind of in that group. But I think these three guys are much better workers.
Oh, these guys are way better workers than Morocco. Yeah. Right. I like what I see of Bob Orton. Again, it's just, I feel like I'm just repeating myself, but like it's just a more of the same. I do appreciate that when he came back to help Randy, he still had the cast on his arm.
Yes, that was good. I guess that counts too, because he had the handicap match and then he's in the cell. And I mean, he was good in that role too.
Is that where he gave the Undertaker hepatitis?
That is the one. Yes, Armageddon. I was there for that match.
Did you get hepatitis?
It splattered on Scott, but I was able to dodge it.
Okay. Is that also how Scott got polio?
It's all coming together.
Yeah. So Bob Orton doesn't make my list. Great LJN figure, though. I loved his LJN figure with the little black hat. It's perfect.
Indeed.
Now, you have Randy higher, right?
Yeah. Not by much, though, actually.
Huh.
He's coming up. All right, who's your 59?
Matt Hardy.
Okay, him I have higher, so we'll wait. My 58 is Billy Graham, the superstar.
Superstar, and him I have higher, so we'll wait.
All right, your 58?
Charles Sheik.
Charlie Sheik. Winning. All right, so I had him at 60. So pretty close. Talk to me about the Sheiky baby.
Oh, I mean, maybe the most memorable foreign character when you get down to it. Him or Volkov, I would say, probably. Great heel. Could never be a face because he's just a piece of shit as a heel. Insulting the town, insulting the world, insulting the country. Really great in-ring guy, though. I love watching him. Maybe it's because he's legit. Like, I really enjoy watching him work. I love the stiffness of his moves.
Yeah, he's really fun.
Yeah, like he's just great. And as a character, he's funny, too. Like when he's doing the Persian club stuff. And like he's just a fun guy to listen to. I mean, the Backlund match is memorable, but it's nothing crazy to write home about. But the Slaughter matches are great.
Yeah, all the time.
I really love those. Hogan obviously beating him is a huge moment in company history and doesn't happen without him. So I just think he's a guy who, for me, he's probably of all the old school guys, the most important. And the one I enjoy watching the most.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that. Also, his WrestleMania 1 is a big moment, too. That's like the first title change in WrestleMania history. It's a big upset.
Oh, yeah.
Big moment. Him getting popped for Coke with Jim Duggan. big moment. But even him and Volkoff, they have a pretty fun run for a couple of years. And they have some decent matches here and there with the Bulldogs and others. You mentioned the Slaughter matches. There's a good match with him and Mike Rotundo, of all people, on an MSG house show. I think it's like May of 85, maybe. That was like surprisingly really damn good. I think it went like 3.5 on it or something. But yeah, just a real memorable character during like a peak time in the 80s, obviously, with all the Iran stuff. So memorable, good promo in his own way, great worker, underrated worker probably by many. Could really go in the ring. And yeah, I think he's got the moments and everything else. So I think 58 is good. Maybe
he's a colonel.
He was a colonel. See, it's funny because Chad kind of dinged him for that, but I don't see it. Like it wasn't even that long that he was around as a colonel. Was he not even like 6 months, maybe? Like it was the summer of 91 until very early 92. I think he's gone pretty much after Rumble 92. So I'm not going to ding him for a 5 month run where he was just there to back up Slaughter. So
yeah, he was so peripheral to all of that. Like, he probably shouldn't have been in the ring at that point. Like, he wasn't great at that point. But, yeah, why would – if anything, I ding the company for, like, just assuming that Iraqis and Iranians are the same place.
Right, yeah. Well, they actually – rewatching it at one point – I forgot the hell I was watching. But they actually – they say he's a sympathizer, too. They don't say he's Iraqi. They say, like, he was – like, he almost, like, defected or whatever.
So Adnan is the only actual Iraqi?
Right. I'm pretty sure, like, I either read or watched, like, it was either in an old magazine or watching it, and they explain it at first when he first shows up, that he was, like, the Iranian Iron Sheik, and he's, like, defected to Iraq and become Colonel Mustafa. Like, they actually explain it.
Did they explain the name change?
No, but they do call him, like, I think they do reference him as the Iron Sheik early on.
Well, it's just like he's so unique looking.
Right. There's no way to hide it. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess they could have put a mask on him.
Yeah. No, I think it's fine. It's almost fitting that he's such a fucking goof.
Such a piece of shit. He doesn't even – he turns to one of his country's enemies.
He doesn't give a fuck. All right. My 57 you mentioned earlier, and that's the Big Boss Man. You had him at 64, so around the same area again. Really high-quality big man. Jump up moments. I think he's got plenty. The cage, obviously, is kind of his first big one against Hogan, the superplex off the cage. But he's also involved. I mean, they're heavily involved in the Mega Powers stuff, him and Akeem. Even the Dusty Rhodes shit was, like, entertaining, where he cuffs Rhodes.
Akeem didn't make the list, eh?
No, sadly. Right. If it's a favorites list, he would have. But Boss Man, when he gave Dusty the biggest beating of his big fat life, Survivor Series 89.
Yes.
Then even too, when he takes back the $1 million belt, that's memorable. Then he becomes like Hogan's buddy. And 91 into 92, he's just like tremendous. Like he gets in great shape. He has great matches. Him and Barbarian at Rumble 91 is a ton of fun. Him and Perfect is a real fun feud coming off the Bobby stuff. Him and Mounty, really good. I love him in Rumble 92 when he comes out and just has that great showdown with Flair and then that sick bump out of the ring. Even the Nails beat down is like a great moment. Like when he first attacks him, and then he's pretty much gone. But then he's got a bunch of moments too in his return. Like obviously all the Al Snow shit, the Big Joe stuff. But even I liked him as like McMahon's bodyguard early on with like the mask, and he's got the team of Shamrock, all that stuff. I thought he was good in the hardcore division. You know, he drops off in like 2000 into 01, but he has a little blip with Perfect in early 02 before he leaves, which was neat. Great worker, great promo. I think he's a great promo. He was a heel. He was a face. He was a tag team. He's kind of done it all there. Yeah. I think he's got a lot of the stuff you look for on a list like this. Just, he never had that big run and he never had like that.
Yeah.
Like what's his best match? It's probably either Hogan in the cage or, Barbarian.
Yeah.
I think it hurt him too that they didn't blow off the DiBiase feud that they started. You know what I mean? Like that kind of died on the vine. If they would have fought at SummerSlam or something 90, like that could have been a big one for him.
No, it would have been bad. DiBiase does not do well in
That's right. He's bad on pay-per-view. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it could have been a moment anyway, at least for him.
Yeah, I mean, what's his biggest moment? The cage match with Hogan?
Yeah, I'd say the cage with Hogan or yeah, probably that, I guess. I was trying
killing
to
killing Elsno's dog.
I mean, maybe to a certain crowd, right? The jailhouse as well.
The jailhouse is so good.
Yeah.
But it's so carried by the Mountie.
Yeah.
Like he's fine in it, but he does like even the Mountie like there's a promo like right before the match where he's telling off the cops.
Right.
And telling them not to go easy on whoever
right, yeah,
loses.
Yeah, he's really good at that.
It's just perfect.
Yeah, probably the cage. I mean, look, I'd say the cage slash the main event where the Mega Powers split. Like, you know, that's oh, and also I love the Rockers Twin Towers match at 5. That's a favorite.
Well, that's fun.
One. Yeah.
That's a really fun match. And his run as the most evil man on earth is
yes.
Is a sight to behold. Like the whole Big Show thing. Like when you think about like what they wrote for him to do, like, okay, we're gonna tell the Big Show his dad's dead, but he's not really dead. But then he dies. Like then he ruins the funeral. Like he goes to like where do you even get that car with the megaphone? Where do you get such a car?
He crafts it himself.
Yeah, like and why? Like I don't even remember. Was there any reason he was doing this?
No, I think he's just an asshole. Well, he wanted the title, right? Or no, he started it before he was even champion. Yeah, I don't know. I think he's just a prick.
Like, it just seems like such a weird... Like, why are you picking a fight with this guy and doing this to him?
I'd have to rewatch him of that. I don't know, because he goes right from the snow stuff right into that. So I think they would have... Like, he's just a sick fuck. Like, there must have been something on TV. Like, there was so much TV at that point on both shows between Raw and SmackDown that, like, something probably happened, right? I mean, there's probably some, like, Big Show probably beat him up or then he got pissed or something like that. That's my guess.
So he tries to literally ruin his life.
Right.
Yeah, that Kennel in the Cell match is also just... One of the worst pieces of shit ever, right?
Oh, yeah, it's awful. And the Hell in a Cell. I mean, he's got a couple real bad things. The Hell in a Cell with Taker is bad. You know, so he's not completely absolved. He's got some bad shit. But it's all pretty late in that run, and his character makes up for a lot of it, I think. And he never really had bad matches like that. Like, I'm not a fan of the Bigelow one at Rumble 93, but he's still fine, right? I mean, the Nails match may be his worst, you know.
Yeah, I liked his team with Shamrock. Did you mention his team with Shamrock?
Yes, I mentioned that late 98 when they were champs. Yeah, that was pretty good too. They have that one kind of blah match though with, who do they fight? Is it the Outlaws at whatever the December Rock Bottom?
I don't remember. It's probably the Outlaws. That makes sense.
Yeah, I think it was. I think that was the match. Anyway, they have a real rough match at Rock Bottom 98. It's just like, it's like 20 something minutes and it just drags. But I do like the team as Vince's heavies. I love him in the mask with the dogs, like, and all that shit.
Oh, yeah, but that's like one of the best promos in company history.
Right.
That old bit. Yeah. Yeah, he's great. He's great. And I love how he improved, like, especially earlier on in his career.
Right.
Like, he's the fastest big guy I've ever seen.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, in 91, 92, he's a great worker. It was the Outlaws. It was the Outlaws in the game 16 minutes, but it felt like 26.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably like all Boss Man and Billy Gunn too.
Right.
Yeah, like when he's running out of the ring and jumping down and uppercutting guys and like that was great. Like he was special.
You're
at
special.
The beginning of his career, he could not keep his shirt buttoned up though.
Well, because he was gigantic. But even then he was a great worker. Like the squash with Coco with SummerSlam 88 is like fun, you know. And even the cage. I mean, he's still pretty fat in the cage with Hogan and all that stuff, and the Rockers match and everything. So, and even I like him at SummerSlam 89. Like that Haas match is kind of fun.
Oh yeah, it's fun. Yeah. But just get a bigger shirt.
Yes. Yeah, he could have gotten a bigger shirt. He didn't want to go to the big and tall. He was embarrassed.
You mean there's no way Sears has clothes for a man the size of the Big Boss Man?
Oh, boy. All right. You're 57.
57. Number 57 is... It's the goddamn Big Show.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
So I don't have a much higher than you.
No, right around the same spot.
Yeah. Like, I find with, as we're getting closer, a lot of our things are like within 10 of each other.
Right. Except for, there's a couple, but mainly like Rick Martel's sure. like 50. but, yeah. All right. So Big Show, a guy that got better as he went.
Yeah,
for sure. Early on, so many start stops, not really any great matches. Like, what's his first really good match in your eyes? Brock?
Yeah, probably. It'd have to probably be Brock.
Right.
Because so, for a long time, he was like the fat guy, right? Like, they kept sending him away and not being satisfied with him. I really like the tag team match. I really like the tag with Taker.
Yes.
I really like that match at SummerSlam 99. But yeah, you're probably right. It's probably Brock, the first one.
So that's when he gets going a little bit. And then I like him and Brock all through like 03. And then he's up and down. He's just always up and down, up and down, up and down. Like, when did you think is when he really got solidly good? Like 12?
He constantly had flashes, but yes, solidly around 12.
Right, when he gets to Daniel Bryan and the Mark Henry and all that stuff.
Yeah, and those matches are legitimately very good, I feel.
Yeah, the three-way at Rumble 12 is great.
Yeah. I would even say the match I really like all the matches with Henry, actually. I don't know if they'd all be great, but I really enjoy that run. But he was very good in 2008 as well. Like, he really made that Mayweather feud work. Right. And that match itself is fantastic.
That's probably his biggest moment. I mean, that's right. That's an all-timer. Yeah, I'd say that's his best moment. But, I mean, it's a guy that knew how to – eventually learned really well how to work a match. I mean, just for a while, he's one of their best workers, like during that kind of dearth stretch, you know?
yeah.
I think he's a guy that gets hurt. Like, he's almost like inverse Kane, I guess, in a way. Only he gets hurt by his early stretch and people just kind of being tired of him being around and not maybe understanding how good he got in the end. I think, you know, Mark Henry's kind of the same. And Kane, I find Kane to be the opposite, like we talked about. But, I mean, Show's got a ton of big moments and matches, but he's just also got those stretches of just, like, aimlessness. But he's also a really good tag worker. Like, Jericho was great. Miz Show was great. His first Matt team with Kane in, like, 06 was really good. So he can do that. He can do comedy. He can do serious. He can do face. He can do heel. Him crying, I can take or leave. But he runs
the
gamut.
How many times has Stephanie McMahon made him cry?
Yeah, multiple times.
Yeah. The problem is he's got a lot of bad stuff, too.
Tons of bad.
Yeah, like that Akebono thing was pretty bad. He's got a casket match with Undertaker at Survivor Series 05, which is just dreadful.
Was that him or Heidenreich?
Is it Survivor Series or SummerSlam? No, it's Survivor Series.
I think it's Heidenreich and Taker.
I don't think so.
Him and Taker feuded a bunch of times. They feuded in 03, 05, 09, I think, right? When did they do like the punch stuff where he actually beat him? Remember he beat him clean with the punch?
I think it's 09.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't really using the punch. See, that's another thing. I don't love that punch finish.
Right. But I get why they gave it to him.
Yeah, because his hand is big. I get it. The size of frying pans. Whatever. But, you know?
All his intangibles are really good, too. Like he's a great promo, great talker. Presence is really good. Good connection with the crowd. His, you know, iconic theme music. Like everything about him. I think that's what raises him up the list, even despite the bad stuff.
Yeah, yeah, he's good. Like, he's just solid. I actually really like his match with Rusev, too.
Yes, yep.
Rusev, like, listens for his heartbeat, and, like I thought he got very good at selling as the years went on. Like, when Mark Henry breaks his leg, it's... I believe it. Like, I believe he broke his leg.
No, everything got better. He definitely improved. Like, there's no doubt about it. That as his career went on, he really pieced it together and figured it out. It's too bad he didn't figure it out earlier, you know? He could have really had an all-timer career.
Do you think he's just lazy? Like, do you think that's a... Because that's kind of a rumor about him, right? Do you think that's what it is?
Oh, I think it's absolutely part of it. at least in the early years, I think he coasted on his size. Like, you hear that a lot about in WCW too. By the end, he just got really lazy and just kind of relied on his size and kind of put on the weight. And I think you see that in his early WWF career too. I think there's a reason they kept sending him to the fat farm and punishing him and stuff. And then I think it just finally clicked. I don't know if it was Heyman or Brock or what made it click. Where it hit him, but then I think he needed to get off the road. We didn't even mention his ECW stuff, by the way. Which is good. Not great. I don't think a lot of it holds up, but he has some good brawls in there. And I mean, he was just doing sick stuff, but he needed that time off. And then when he came back in like really good shape and all that, like that was his, that was probably the beginning of his renaissance, right? Was that 08? Like you mentioned the Mayweather stuff, because that's when he does Jericho and Miz show and all that. So I would say probably 08 when he came back was the beginning of the renaissance for him.
Yeah. And I actually quite like the Cody Rhodes feud too. Not to go back to Cody Rhodes, but like, I thought that it was nice to see him get that actual win at WrestleMania. As kind of stupid as like that build was, and I know I'm probably in the minority, but I actually really liked how Rhodes won the title back from him too with stepping on the table. Yes. I know it's silly, but like, but it makes sense.
Right. Like, it did make sense. It was well done.
Yeah, and the look on his face, just so sad and disappointed. Oh, and if you didn't even mention his matches with Sheamus, which I quite liked also.
Yes, that was good too, yep.
Yeah, later in that year. And the way that whole story was like, he warned Sheamus, like, you don't know what you're getting into, and then backed it up, which right. They don't let heels do ever.
Hope you've enjoyed this episode of Making the Cut. Make sure you stay tuned as we continue to work our way through our list at some sort of period of time here on PlaceOfNation.com. Follow all of our podcast feeds on iTunes, PlaceOfNation Wrestling, PlaceOfNation Pop, Pro Wrestling Only, and you can get each and every thing you may need in your pop culture world, especially when it comes to this project. So, that's it. Talk to you next time.
Nothing. Yeah!
Okay, there you go. Just go ahead now, and if you